Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight. Do you love the Lord Jesus tonight? Amen. God's been good to each and every one of us. I was thinking coming down the road, you know, I'm so thankful the Lord loved me. I ain't always loved the Lord. That was a day when I didn't love the Lord. Because I didn't love the Lord, I didn't love church, I didn't love His Word. But there has come a day He come knocking on my heart's door. Amen. Show me I was lost, done. Show me I was on my way to hell. God saved my soul. And guess what? I fell in love with church. Fell in love with His Word. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm glad the lights are on. I'm glad the doors are open. And I'm glad you're here. And I believe you love the Lord. And the reason I believe you love the Lord is because I keep seeing you come back and come back. I know what kind of church this is. It's a church that stands for God. It's a church that stands for the Word. And you just can't get enough of it. You just keep coming back and back and back. And I want you to know I love you. I want to be a help to you tonight. I want you to pray for me. And let's open up God's Word to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Paul's been taken in bonds. He's on his way to Rome. He's appealed to Caesar. They're headed into Italy by boat. They've stopped at a haven, and they don't feel like it's good to stay there for the winter. They don't take Paul's advice, and they head on back out. They're headed towards Crete, and we'll pick up in verse number 13. The Bible reads, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running on a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when we had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. Strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest laid upon us, we all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosened from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Andria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And then fearing lest they should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Well, folks, you don't have to live long to figure out that life's a roller coaster ride. And one day you're up on the mountaintop, the next day you're down the valley. That's just the way life is. One day, listen, that soft southern wind will be blowing like in verse 13. Things will be going good. And the next thing you know, that stormy wind from the north or northeast blows. And that's what happened there in the Mediterranean Sea. And it caused an Euryclidon. Euryclidon. And I'll tell you, that's a storm that's same thing as a hurricane, except this particular storm is going to be a little different. Most hurricanes, they slowly move. They'll go up a coast. They'll hit, and this thing's going to last for 14 days. How would you like to be in a wooden ship in the middle of a Euryclidon being tossed around for 14 days? I've been on a lake before in a John boat, and a storm hit, and it scared me, much less being on a wooden boat in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. My friend, you never know when you're going to get a phone call and your life gets turned upside down. You never know when that doctor's going to look at you and give you that report that you thought you'd never hear. You never know what a day may bring forth. My friend, each and every one of us have been in storms, but every now and then something comes along. I'm telling you what, folks, it'll just grip you down in your soul. I mean, it'll get a hold of you, my friend, and it won't let loose. It'll about tear you apart. We find here in this passage of Scripture, Paul's in the middle of a reckledon. But Paul's going to give some good instruction. He's going to let them know a few things. I notice in verse number 29, the Bible says, "Then fearing lest we have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wish for the day." They're sailing along. They're afraid that that ship's going to become shipwrecked, hitting them rocks. Yeah. Boy, that's the way life is. You know, there's rocks of pride and rocks of discontentment and rocks of anger. And my friend, there's all kind of rocks that can shipwreck your ship, my friend.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What they did, they threw those four anchors out and they wished for the day. I find it interesting that in verse 27, they drew near to some country. That's the way I feel tonight. I'm drawing near to a country. That's right. I'm going to leave this one behind. I'm going to the glory land. And you know, folks, I have been out of storm, in storm. Out of storm, in storm. My friend, but when that arachnodon hits, we need to throw those four anchors out and wish for the day. I want to preach tonight on what you do in the middle of your arachnodon. My friend, either you're in a storm tonight or you're about to go into one. That's the way it is.
Yes, sir.
My friend, I'll hit every one of you tonight. Yes. I'll catch every one of you. Yes. You're either going to be in the storm or you're coming out of it, and you're going to be going back in one if the Lord tarries.
Right.
There's four things I want you to look at tonight in anchoring down in the arachnodon. Yes. The first thing I want you to see tonight is verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I am."
Yes.
Number one, anchor down in your salvation.
That's
Listen, folks, don't forget who you are. You are a born again, blood washed, transformed child of God if you've been saved by the grace of God. My friend, you belong to a special family. You're not a nobody, you're a somebody. You belong to a royal family. My friend, you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has went into glory, but he's left us here. Now he's coming back to get us, but in the meantime, we are to represent him. We are to honor him. We are to respect him. We are to be his spokesperson while we're here, folks. My friend, you may be the only Bible a lost person ever reads. My friend, they're going to watch you. They're going to pay close attention to you, especially when you're in the middle of an arachnodon. My friend, it's easy to love God. It's easy to praise God when you're on the mountain. Mountaintop. Well, when you're down in the valley, my friend, that's when the world's really going to take notice. Don't forget who you are. You're a representative of God. You're a child of the King. You're eternally saved. My friend, you're cared for. You belong to God now. You're in His hand. Never forget who you are. Anchor down your salvation. But more importantly, don't forget who God is. My friend, my Bible tells me that He's God Almighty. Now, that's not just a catchy cliche. My friend, I don't care what the problem is, He can handle it. I don't care what storm it is, my friend, He can take care of it. My friend, I don't care what enemy you face, He's never been defeated. I was thinking today of the greatest enemy that we face outside our own flesh, our own selves, and that'd be Satan himself. When I go and look in Isaiah 14, I think about the fall of Satan. When I look at old Lucifer, he says something. He says, "I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High."
Yeah.
Well, how far did he make it?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible teaches us, and Jesus speaking, he says, "I beheld Satan falling as lightning."
Right.
Now, lightning falls to the ground about 220,000 miles an hour. Now, in my lifetime, I've seen a few scraps. I've seen some folks get knocked down. But I've never seen anybody hit the ground at 220,000 miles an hour. My friend, he thought he was going to be, he thought he'd take himself into heaven, thought he'd be his own God. He thought he'd take God on. My friend, God put the power driver on him. God, I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he spoke the word. I don't know if he met him in the clouds and hit him with his holy fist. I don't know how he did it. But what I do know is he challenged God and he lost. Pharaoh challenged God and he lost. Goliath challenged God and he lost. The Philistines challenged God and he lost. My friend, the Assyrians challenged God and he lost. In the future, the Antichrist and the false prophet and all that crowd will challenge Christ and they'll lose. My friend, though the wicked join hand in hand, they shall not go unpunished. There they'll be millions. They'll gather in the valley of Megiddo outside Jerusalem at Armageddon. They'll challenge the Lord then. And my friend, they'll be defeated. He has never lost a fight, never will. My friend, that's our God. That's who's on our side. My friend, in your middle of storm, don't forget who God is. My friend, I want you to know God is almighty. My friend, God is all wise. My friend, you and I, when we come to a problem, we reason it out, and if we're blessed, we go, oh, that's the way that worked. My friend, that's never happened with God. My friend, God's never had to figure out how's that work. God knows how everything works. Nothing, my friend, has ever occurred to God. And the great saying goes, has it ever occurred to you that nothing's occurred to God? My friend, he knows the answer before you even know there's a problem. My friend, before Adam and Eve were sinned, my friend, God had an answer to the problem. Before the foundation of the world, it was decided Lord Jesus would go to Calvary's cross and die for our sins. Don't forget who God is. He's omnipresent. My friend, he can help you, and he can help you. He can help you, he can help me. He can help you, he can help those listening by internet. He can help all, my friend. He's omnipresent. My friend, that is the God that is on our side. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who God is. I'll say this in anchoring down your salvation. Don't forget what God's done for you. When you were bankrupt.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I was bankrupt. When I was lost, when it didn't look like there was any hope at all, I was trying to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I tried religion, that didn't work. I tried getting dunked in some water, that didn't work. I tried this and I tried that, none of it worked. And one day, a preacher reared back and preached Jesus Christ to me. He preached the wages of sin is death. I felt like I was hanging over hell by a cobweb. My friend, I liked it when he got over and he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, I'm glad when God butted in that morning. My friend, I realized I was lost and undone and on my way to hell, but I learned that Jesus went to Calvary's cross and he suffered and he bled and he died like no one's ever died before, my friend. Upon him, all the sin of the world was cast upon. My sin, your sin. Do not ever forget what he did for you. He died for you. The wages of our sin had to be, my friend, paid. The wages of our sin was paid at Calvary's cross in his own blood. My friend, don't ever forget what he did for you. I get over in Matthew 27, which is one of my favorite chapters in all the Word of God, and I read about where they spit upon him. They spit upon him so I wouldn't have to be spit upon. They mocked him so I wouldn't have to be mocked. They hit him so I wouldn't have to be hit. They took a cat of nine tails and whipped him. My friend, that should have been me. And that should have been you. He went to old Calvary's cross. My friend, no man took his life. He willingly laid down his life. They nailed him to old rugged cross and they suspended him between heaven and earth. My friend, don't tell me nobody loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He loved you so much that he gave his very life for your sin. My friend, but death could not hold him. On that first and glorious day of the week, he came out of that grave. My friend, that morning when I called upon him, I didn't call on somebody that was dead in the grave and couldn't help me. I called on a living Savior that could save my soul. And he did just that. And he did that for every single one that's ever called upon him. Repented of their sin and trusted him as Lord and Savior. God has saved them. God has birthed them in the family of God. God has sealed them with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Do not forget what Jesus has done for you. But not only that, don't forget what God's going to do for you. Amen. Listen, the day I got saved, all I wanted was salvation. Really, that's all I wanted. I didn't know about all this other stuff. All I knew was I was lost and I was on my way to hell and I learned Jesus loved me and died for me. And I'll tell you, during that time, it was Holy Ghost conviction. It's rough. Holy Ghost conviction's rough. I get worried about this crowd. Sometimes they testify and listen, what they're testifying, what happened to them ain't what happened to me. When I got saved, my friend, before I got saved, Holy Ghost conviction got over me. My friend, I felt so guilty. I'd broken God's holy law. But this is where it got kind of strange for me. I felt so guilty, but yet I felt so loved. I'll tell you, all kind of emotions were going through me. And I said, you know what? I went as far as I'm going to go. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's all I wanted. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be in the family of God. I wanted God to forgive me of my sins. That's what I wanted. But I didn't know all this other stuff I was going to get. If I did, I probably signed up a lot earlier. Amen. I'll tell you what. What's he going to do for it? Well, I'll tell you what. This day, I got up. My knees hurt me a little bit. All right, there's coming a day I'm going to get a glorified body. Yep. I don't worry about that knee no more. Amen. Goodbye to these old glasses. I'm so tired of these glasses. I've been wearing glasses since I was 5 years old. Yeah. Goodbye to them glasses. Yeah. My friend will get me a glorified body. Yeah. Amen. Listen, there's going to come a day when all the tears that we shed, my friend, he's going to wipe them all away. That's right. Some of you are shedding tears right now. Some of you are heartbroken right now. Some of you are in the middle of a reckledon right now. Yeah. And you're shedding tears. My friend, don't forget what he's going to do for you. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's coming a day he's going to wipe all them tears away. Oh, my friend, you're going to get heaven. You're going to get to sit down at his table. My friend, you're going to get heaven. I've been thinking about heaven a lot. Amen. Listen, I think about heaven and everything in heaven. When you study it out, all the gates of the pearl, and listen, all, the walls of jasper, the streets of gold, all of that, every bit of it points to Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. When I think about that, boy, it's wonderful. I think about the walls of jasper and the streets of gold and all those fine things we read about. But I'm going to tell you what makes heaven heaven. I'm telling you. I'm thankful the streets of gold are there, and I'm thankful that the walls of jasper are there, and I'm thankful for the gates of pearl, but I'm going to tell you what makes heaven heaven. Heaven is heaven because the Son of the living God resides there. My friend, that's our Savior, and we're going to see him one day, and my friend, we can pray to him now, we can talk to him now, we can tell him we love him now, and he hears us, but boy, it's going to be a special day when we see him face to face. It's going to be a special day when we're able to go up to him. I hope he lets us hug him. I hope he lets us get real close to him, just let him know how much we appreciate him, how much that we care for him, how much that we love him. That's our Savior. My friend, don't forget what he's going to do for you. Amen. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. My friend, you may be going through the reckledon right now. You may be going through that valley right now, but you're going through it, my friend. Amen. For you and I that saved, this life is as worst as it's going to ever get. My friend, from there on, it's going to get better. When you breathe your last breath or when the Lord comes and gets you, my friend, it's going to be all right from there on. Amen. Don't forget what he's going to do for you. He's prepared good things for things that's never entered into your mind. Now, I've met some of you. I ain't got to know all of you. I've gotten to know more of you on this side than I have on this side. Amen, brother. But I've met a few. Listen, I can already tell some of you, you know, you got some, you're like me, your imagination, it gets on up there. It's pretty wild sometimes, isn't it? Bible says many have entertained angels unaware. If he's met some of you, I believe they've been entertained. Somebody will catch on that in a minute. Listen. There's a lot of things entering my mind, and good things. I wonder if it's going to be this way. I wonder if it's going to be that way. But the Bible teaches me there's things that's never entered in this little puny mind of mine. Man, I'm telling you what, he's got something good for us. In your reckledon, anchor down in your salvation. Secondly, look at verse 23. For there stood by me this night. Anchor down in your fellowship. Anchor down in your fellowship with God. When you're in the middle of a storm, don't run from God. Don't get out of church. My friend, I tell you, if there's ever a time to stay in church and be faithful, hey, have that fellowship close with the Lord. It's when you're in the middle of that reckledon. How would you like to be on the storm today, on the sea today, and have communication cut off? Couldn't cry out and mayday, mayday, and nobody hear you. You know, there are things that hinder our prayer according to Scripture. That's right. Keep that fellowship close with the Lord. Anchor down in your fellowship. Now listen, I find it amazing that God willing to save me. But I find it just as amazing he wants to have any fellowship, do we? I do. Why would God want a fellowship with me? When I look at myself, I don't see nothing. I don't see much. But my friend, I'm thankful that God wants to fellowship with me. And I'm thankful that God wants to fellowship with you. My friend, when I think about what all the Lord went through, God came looking for Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. Stay with me now. Come looking for them in the cool of the day. Listen, he knew exactly where they were. He would cry, Adam, where art thou? Now, he wasn't crying that because he was confused and lost Adam inside. He was saying that so Adam would realize where he was at. Adam was in fellowship with God. Now he's not. Adam was, had peace with God. Now he's afraid. Yep. But I think about what all the Lord knew that he was going to go through, yet he still come looking for Adam in the cool of the day. Yep. I think you'd agree with me that the Lord wants awfully bad to fellowship with us.
Yes, sir.
My friend, our sins have separated us from the Lord. Yep. When a person is saved to the grace of God, those sins are dealt with.
Yep.
Calvary's cross, your sins are washed away, yep. Cast as far as the east is from the west. My friend, your relationship, it never changes.
Right.
But your fellowship can.
Yes,
you can lose your fellowship.
Right.
Listen, when I was growing up, my dad and my mom were my best friends. My dad, he'd take me out fishing. I loved spending time with my dad. I didn't get to spend a lot of years with him. He passed away when I was young. But I loved my dad. And boy, I tell you, times were good. But man, if I ever did anything wrong and daddy found out about it, I was like Adam. I'd go hide. Because, brother, let me tell you, daddy knew how to swing the belt. Daddy knew how to take his hand and bend me over and tear me up. Listen, when fellowship got broken, daddy dealt with it.
That's right.
Something had to take place to get fellowship restored.
Yep.
You might be here tonight and you may be saved with the grace of God. And I hope you are. If you're not, tonight's the night you need to get in.
Right.
But listen to me. If you're saved and your fellowship ain't what it's supposed to be and you're in the middle of the wreck of the dawn, you know what you need to do? You need to get that fellowship restored with the Lord. You know what you need to do. You need to do business with God.
Amen.
Not business with me. Not the business with anybody else. You need to do business with God.
Right.
Get that fellowship restored. Get back on the firing line.
Yeah.
Amen. Pray. You know, I think about storms. And I think about the disciples being in a storm. There was a day when the disciples were in a storm. The Lord Jesus was in the ship, in the back of the ship asleep. And the Bible teaches us, if you read closely, waters were hitting the outside of that ship and water was getting on the inside of the ship.
Yep.
My friend, we have storms without and we have storms within.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And I know I think about that storm. It was probably lightning. It was probably thundering, making all kind of noise. I assure you, when those billows and those waves hit that ship, that it made noise.
Yep.
But Jesus slept.
Yeah.
You know what it was? It woke him up. It wasn't the lightning. It wasn't the thunder. It wasn't the billows. It was the cry of his children.
Yeah.
That's what woke him up.
Yeah.
My friend, you're in the middle of the wreck of the dawn. Anchor down your fellowship. Pray to him. Talk to him.
Yeah.
My friend, walk with him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when you walk together with the Lord, there's some results. There's some inward results. It gives you blessed assurance.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, when you're close with the Lord and you fellowship what it's supposed to be, you'll see your prayers answered.
Yes.
Peace of mind.
Yeah.
Peace. Confidence in the Lord. Look in verse 25, something Paul had in the middle of the storm.
Lord.
Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. You'll have joy down your heart. Even in the middle of the wreck of the dawn, you can have joy in your
yes,
heart.
Sir.
My friend, walk close with the Lord. The third thing that I see here tonight, again, in verse number 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I'll say this, anchor down in your service.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking about something. Listen, when a person wants to know who you are, what you do, and you describe it in one or two words, they might come and say, what do you do? And you may say, I'm an electrician, or you may say I'm a pastor, or you may say I'm a carpenter. You know, you relate to your identity in that case by your job. Some people may say, well, I'm a father, or I'm a mother, or something like that, and you relate your identity to your family.
Yeah.
You relate in one or two words what you are. You know, it's interesting when Paul and Peter, and let's see here, James would have been one. The book of Jude would have been one. When those books open up with the salutations, they don't say, I'm a Christian. They don't say, I'm a pastor. What they say is this, I am a servant.
That's right.
I'm a servant.
Amen.
I'm a servant.
Amen.
They felt it important for everyone to understand that they were a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, in our day and hour, that might not sound real glamorous to some. They get up in the morning, what are you going to be? I'm going to be a servant.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, the world don't see it that way.
Right.
But you know what? I've learned something about this thing about serving the Lord. If you work a job, you work for an employer, you work 40 hours a week, and I work more than that, and I'm sure some of you do. Hey, listen, I don't work for free. I don't. I clock in. I give them an honest day's work, but at the same time, I expect honest day pay.
Yes,
they ain't getting anything free from me. I'm working 40 hours or whatever it is, and I expect to get that back.
Yes, sir.
But you know, in the Lord's work, it's just the opposite. Yep. My friend, when God gives you something to do, at the end of the day, understand this. God ain't going to owe you nothing.
Yeah.
But it's just the opposite. You're going to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting me preach tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Lord could get anybody up here he wanted to. I'm nobody. He could get anybody up here he wanted to. But he let me up here tonight, and I thank him for it. And at the end of the service, when I go to bed tonight, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm indebted to you because you let me in on a little bit of your work. My friend, you that lead the singing and you that teach and you that go out and visit and you that clean the church, no matter what it is, if you're saved the grace of God and you're in the family of God, God's given you a job to do. And whether you do it or not, that's up to you. My friend, but listen, when you do it, and when you're right with the Lord and your fellowship's right, you're anchored down the way you're supposed to be and you're serving God, at the end of the day, you're going to say, thank you, Lord, for letting me do that.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You could have got anybody else, but you got me.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for it.
Yeah,
the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be as steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. I always note that verse says, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
My friend, don't quit.
That's
don't
right.
quit. My friend, listen, I see that scripture where they see that country, and I see that country.
Yeah.
I see it with spiritual eyes. We're close. I'm not, listen, I don't know when the Lord's coming. You don't know when the Lord's coming. They don't know on Channel 16 when the Lord's coming. They don't know down at Christian Supply when the Lord's coming. But I can tell you this, he's a coming. And I know this for sure, we're a little bit closer than we were yesterday. My friend, I don't know when he's coming, but I feel it deep down in my soul, it's soon. I guess every Christian that stayed in their Bible and read has probably felt like that way down through the generations, but I don't know what it is, but I just believe he's coming soon. Amen, I believe he's coming soon. And when he comes, my friend, I want him to find me anchored down in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want him to find me to be a quitter. Somebody, when the going got tough, just pulled on out and left. My friend, I want my friend, my Lord, to be pleased with what I do for him. My friend, I know you feel that way too. But my friend, in the day and hour we're living in, they were in perilous times here when they were in that ship. We're living in perilous times today. And some people are just throwing in the towel. My friend, now's not the time to quit. My friend, we're getting mighty close.
Yeah.
We're going to be leaving this place. Anchor down your service.
Yeah.
Amen. Anchor down your service. You know, when people think about service, they think about a servant. The world looks at it like, well, that's demeaning. That puts you on the bottom and somebody else on the top. Well, my friend, listen. We love the Lord because he first loved us, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you'll look in Scripture, the Lord served us first too. We should serve him.
Amen.
Amen. We should serve him. We should be in there with both feet. Don't quit. You can't serve God and man.
That's right.
Amen. You can't serve God and man. You need to pick a side and get on it.
Amen.
Amen. We look at this passage of Scripture here tonight, and I see that Paul made it clear in whom I serve. It's a giving of oneself, and that's our reasonable service. I want to say this, something I've been... The Lord's been dealing with me. Sometimes I get in the pulpit and I tell on myself. Well, I just have to tell on myself tonight. That's what the Lord has laid on my heart. But you know what? If you try to serve God when it's convenient, listen to me now, you probably ain't going to serve God.
You're right.
That's what I've been running into here lately. Lord, lay something on my heart and ain't been convenient. Well, I can say this. If you're going to serve God with all your heart, it's never going to be convenient. There's always going to be something in the way. But what are we going to put first? Are we going to put ourselves first? Or are we going to put God first?
Yeah.
My friend, it ain't going to be convenient.
Yes, sir, preacher.
But it's worth it.
Amen.
When I look over these past 23 years since God called me to preach, when I look at the past 4 years that I've been saved, and I see that country drawing close, and I look back and I look forward, you know, I see it close, folks.
Yeah.
We went too far. We've come too far to turn back now. Some of you, my friend, have witnessed. You prayed to the Lord. You given to the Lord. You preached for the Lord. You witnessed for the Lord. You taught for the Lord. You've given. You're all for the Lord, my friend. And one day you're going to see him face to face. You don't want him to come back and find you not in service and just quit on him. My friend, anchor down in your service. And the last thing I want you to see is this right here, found in verse number 25. The Bible says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it has been even as it was told me. The last thing I'll say tonight, if you're in the middle of a reclodon, anchor down in God's word. Amen. Folks, I want to say something to you tonight.
Amen.
I believe it, even as it was told me.
Yeah.
Listen, I've had people look me in the face before, good friends, come to find out they just lied to my face. I've had different folks that I thought was honest and upright just to find out just the opposite.
Right, preacher.
But my friend, there's one thing I can count on. Amen. I might not be able to count on men. And I don't count on them a whole lot, to be honest with you.
Right.
But brother, I can count on this book right here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen. I can count on this book right here.
Yeah.
I believe it's going to be even as it's told me.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a lamp under my feet. It's a light into my path.
Right.
My friend, I know what direction to take because of this book.
Amen.
Now listen, I want to make a statement here, and I want to be a help to you. I want to be a help to you tonight, and I want you to get this. I want you to let this sink in. The Word of God and the Spirit of God will never contradict.
That's right.
We live in a day and hour when people will use the statement, and God told me. Anytime I ever hear them words, I'm telling you what, red flags go up, the brakes come on.
Yep.
Whenever they say, and God told me, you know what the first thing I do? I try the Spirit.
Yep.
How do you try the Spirits? By the Word of God. I've heard all kind of crazy things in my lifetime.
Yep.
I've heard God told me not to witness. Where do you get that at?
Yep.
I don't read that anywhere.
Right, preacher.
Amen. I've heard people say, and God told me to do this and do that. Well, if it don't line up with the book, it wasn't the Spirit of God that told them that. The Spirit of God and the Word of God will never contradict. My friend, this book is holy. This book is true. On the front of my Bible, it says, Holy Bible. I still believe that. I believe every comma's in the right place. I believe every capitalization's in the right place. I believe, my friend, that every word that God wants to be in this King James Bible is exactly the way God wants it. I believe He has preserved His inspired word. I believe I can count on it. My friend, my soul rests on what this book says. My friend, if I can bake my soul on what this book says, I should be able to follow what the rest of it says. I should be able to trust what the rest of it says. I believe this book over anybody. I believe this book over my own mama. This book, my friend, is true. It is pure. It is holy. It is the Word of the living God. What makes this book so special? It's alive. That's what makes it special. It's inspired. It's God's Word. What makes something alive? Blood does. The blood of the Lord Jesus flows from Genesis to Revelations. This book is alive. This book is truth. Anchor down in it. This book ain't going anywhere either. There's people, they come on the scene, they piled it in piles and tried to burn it, where they're dead and probably in hell. This book's still in our hands today. Amen. This book ain't going anywhere. Amen. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. My friend, this book you can count on. This book is going to stand the test of time. In this book, I believe, as Paul says, that it shall be even as it was told me. He's made promises in this book that I'm counting on. When I'm in the middle of the reclodon, He's promised me, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. My friend, I can count on that. I can, listen, bank on that. And I found that to be true. I've had family walk away.
Yep.
I've had friends walk away.
Yes, sir.
I've had church members walk away. When I pastored Blue Ridge for years, I had church members walk away.
Yep.
I've seen all kind of people walk away.
Yep.
Well, my friend, my Lord's never left me.
That's right.
A lot of times people say, I'm going to go to church and find God. Guess what? I brought him with me. He come walking in the door with me, and he's walking out with me. Just because the light's cut off and gateway and the doors get locked, that don't mean I left God back there. He's going with me. He's made a promise that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down, and if you're saved, you are too. Anchor down in his word. Anchor down in his promises. I've run out of time. Amen, I've run out of time. But I want to say this to you folks. And listen, we come to church, and I know how it is. You want when you come to church, you don't want to drag people down. You want to be a help to them. Right. You have something on your heart, and I'm going to tell you, Pastor, I pastored for years, and I appreciate you, brother, because this man comes in a lot of times, he's burdened down, but he don't want to bring you down. He don't want to get behind the pulpit. He's burdened down sometimes. But when you're in the middle of the Reclodon, I tell you, and some of you in the middle of your Reclodon, you come in tonight, you got a smile on your face, but down your heart it's a breaking. I know it is.
Yep.
I've been there.
Yes, sir.
And in some ways, I'm there tonight.
Yep.
Anchor down in your salvation. Don't forget who you are.
Yep.
Anchor down, my friend. Anchor down in your fellowship. Stay close to the Lord.
Yep.
Stay close to his word. Stay close to his church. Stay close to the man of God. Let him help you. Stay close. My friend, anchor down in your service. Don't quit on God. Whatever it is God laid upon your heart, there's no big U's and little I's. Every job's important. Anchor down. Anchor down in your service. Don't quit on God. My friend, anchor down in God's word. Get in God's word. We live in perilous times. False prophets have come in on the scene. People are saying, he's here, he's there. Do this and do that. My friend, anchor down in God's word. Listen, there's a lot of voices in this world. To throw all them voices away. Listen to one voice, God's word. It'll be even as he told you, my friend. Anchor down and let God help you. Preacher, I'm going to turn the service back over to you. Let's all stand.